Let's call the Free Conference Committee to order on Senate Bill 156. Secretary, take the roll, please.
Chairman Murphy.
Here.
Senator Priest. Senator Windy Boy.
Here.
Representative Bangirder.
Here.
Representative Pease Lopez.
Here.
Representative Reed.
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, Senator Windy Boy, it's your bill, and why don't you explain to us what you think needs to be done here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, members, first of all, I apologize for my tardiness here. I had my page in for the week, and I was trying to track him down. But anyways, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, first of all, I want to thank the House members for keeping this bill alive and for the thoughtfulness. And as I open this, I would also hope to leave the floor open, Mr. Chairman, for the House members to, as Representative Bangirder had wanted to explain why they did what they did over in the House. As you recall, when I brought this bill forward on the House members, on the first page of the bill there on line 23, where may use up to 15% of the state share, and I want to give an explanation of why my former director of RTANF brought this forward. In 2001, the Chippewa Cree tribe, and I can only speak on behalf of my tribe, which is taking over its own TANF. What happened was when the tribe had taken over the TANF program, the tribe had also assumed utilizing the whole Hill County as a service delivery area. And because the Chippewa Cree tribe, the exterior boundaries of the reservation goes into two areas of two counties, Hill County and Scioto County, and how this affected the tribe as well as the expansion of those services. It also gave the tribe the opportunity to claim Haver, which has an enrollment of approximately 10,000 people plus, and there is I can't remember how many percent off the top of my head, but I know there's a good number of population of tribal folks who are not only our Chippewa Cree tribe, but there's also our members who are from other tribes, Fort Dunlap, Fort Peck, Blackfeet, who live in Haver. And because of the circumstances that they have, when the tribe had taken over the Hill County as part of their service delivery, it expanded that service delivery to include all of Hill County. So at that time, when the tribe was negotiating the contract, the state MOE contract, the maintenance of effort contract, at that time, based upon the 1994 census rolls, it was, I can't remember the numbers off of my head, but what happened was the total of those caseload was equated to the equivalent of $320,000 or $30,000 of maintenance effort based upon the caseloads that were there. And what happened at that time was because the maintenance of effort monies in existing state law, the maintenance of effort dollars in statute had limited that $330,000 to only be specific for cash assistance. Now, when the tribe had undertaken the whole the whole TANF with DeHale County, it wasn't taken into consideration with that agreement with the state plan, because every state in this case here, if you take a look at the line 14 where it has a PR WARA Act of 1996-42 USC 612, what the language in that particular federal law states that the tribe and the state in which they reside and must come together with a plan, a state plan together, that when the state reports the activity, that it is in agreement with the tribe locally, and so when they submit their report annually, that they're utilizing those numbers as well at the same time. And so when we had that, the agreement of this, of the state plan under this 42 USC 612, there's a chunk of federal dollars that goes directly to the, tribe. And in our case, there was something like 1.2 million. And it varies depending on the enrollment, but for our tribe, it was about approximately 1.2 million in federal dollars. And out of that 1.2 million federal dollars, there were some FTEs that came along with that particular funds. And as you probably have all noticed lately, that with all of the budget dealings going on the federal level, that all of the tribes' funding is discretionary. So what that's going to do is, because it's discretionary, it's going to be the tribes' allocation of monies are going to be decreased at a certain level, to where the tribes will be in a situation where they may have to do some layoffs. And so the reason why we have looked at the 15% of this to do the administrative portion of it, 15% is what the state charges for administrative costs once a federal dollar comes down. So for every dollar that comes down, 15 cents automatically goes for administrative, and that was the reason why we wanted to use 15%. At first, we wanted to use that concept with that, but as, like I said, as the budget proceeds more forward, that we feel that it is more so that we're requesting that 15%, so that 15% could cover one of the existing FTEs that the tribe has. And so what the FTE that the tribe has on the federal dollars may diminish some, but it also gives the jurisdiction on the tribe to reallocate that dollar to either propane, diapers, or whatever other type of services, and realizing and understand that's probably what the amendment was kind of addressing. But because, like I said, now that's becoming even more evident now, that I feel that there's more so to try to keep intact some of the FTEs that the tribes have, so that we can continue our work on a caseload. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Perhaps Representative Bangerter could explain the House's reasoning in the way that it amended the bill.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When we heard this bill, there was a little bit of discussion about whether this 15% would go for a person and a copy machine, or whether it would go for diapers and products. And it was our understanding in the committee that the intent of this bill was to go for diapers and products. And so we felt that the current language didn't specify that we wanted it to go to the people and not for an FTE, and that's why we amended it to include TANF support support service costs as under the TANF program.
Well, to meet I think to meet Senator Windy Boy's desire would be to really strike the House amendments. Now, you know the feeling of the House. Is there a chance of doing that and get agreement for it, or do you have a substitute idea? Or
Mr. Chairman, I guess I'm not 100% comfortable speaking for the House in its entirety, but it would never have come out of committee without this amendment, because the committee was adamant that it not be for a copy machine or an FTE.
So, okay. Do either one of the other House members of the committee have anything to add?
I concur with Representative Bangerter that we worked pretty hard to salvage this bill, and the only way we could salvage it out of that committee was with this amendment. And the amendment actually was not my idea. It was Representative Bangerter's, and during the discussion, that was the sticking point, was creating an FTE.
Senator Pease Lopez, did you have anything?
I don't really have anything.
Representative, I mean, sorry.
Yes. It's just, I think these discussions may have been taking place someplace else, because it was quickly assessed by Representative Bangerter that this was going to die. And so we were looking for a way to keep it alive. And I just know, too, just somehow I must have blanked out. I don't know where the discussion went, but I know the feeling of our committee, and they definitely hate to grow government, and then FTE would be seen as growing government. So I know that would be a turnoff.
I see. Thank you. Senator Windy Boy, what would you have to put in at this moment?
Well, I guess in response to a good representative, you know, I know that, and I appreciate, you know, the efforts that you've done, and I guess, you know, the way the existing language, and I think that you are you a staff member here at HHS that deals with this, and if there is no objection, Mr. Chairman, if you're in agreement with me, and if you're not, just nod, whatever. But the way I understand that the maintenance of effort monies that go to the tribes from the state is only for cash assistance.
It is permissible for a committee member to question someone in the audience if it's pertinent to what the discussion is.
Perhaps, if with no objection, Mr. Chairman, if I
come on up to the mic, if you would,
maybe kind of give a spin a little, shed a little bit more light if I missed anything.
You'll have to turn it on down there at the bottom somewhere.
Okay, I think it's on. Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, I'm Linda Snediger. I'm the Division Administrator for Human and Community Services Division, and we supervise the state TANF program. And essentially what Senator Windy Boy said is correct. As it's written now, it does not allow, with the amendment, it does not allow any administrative fees. The original language of this statute was intended to help supplement the cash assistance benefits that the tribes were distributing, and the administrative part was not included. The state does have that 15% cap. We do spend up to the 15% on the federal. We do not on the maintenance of efforts. So as I had testified earlier, there is room on an administrative level.
So the original language in B was actually amended into the bill in the Senate, correct?
Mr. Chairman, the original language in the bill was the original language of what I proposed.
And the only including Part B?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That was the, because right now, Mr. Chairman and members, Part B was never a part of the existing language here. That was the amendment to, that I brought forward.
Okay, thanks. Were there, does anybody, yeah, Representative Bangerter?
Mr. Chairman, I have a, I actually asked Sue O'Connell to do some research on this to see if we couldn't salvage this bill. And so I do have this letter memo from her. And in this memo, it says that the federal TANF grant for Montana is $38 million a year, and up to 15% may be used for administrative expenses. And the state spends $14.7 million in maintenance of effort funds, and 15%, which is nearly $2 million, may be used for administrative expenses. So I guess, Ms. Snedeker, do you mind clarifying what you just told us?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there you have to look at them in two totally separate pieces, because the tribal TANF money is removed from the state's grant before it ever hits the state. So that $38 million is what's left for state purposes. That's what we administer in all of the OPAs throughout the state. The maintenance of effort is the amount, those are the state dollars that we have to spend, and it's a set amount. It has to be 75% at least of our expenditures in when PRWAR was passed. Of that, of our maintenance of effort dollars, the legislature in past years saw fit to give each tribe that chose to do their own tribal TANF program a proportional amount of that maintenance of effort. But when they did it, when the legislature passed that, they said this is for supporting cash benefits. And a piece of that is the reporting that we have to do, because we have to verify for the feds that people aren't getting benefits in both places. So I think Senator Wendy Boy referred to that at one point also.
Anything further?
Yeah, follow up. So the maintenance of effort funds that the tribes get, can they not already spend 15% for administrative expenses?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Bankerter, no, they cannot, because of the restrictive language in the original legislation that was passed. It restricted it to just the cash assistance benefit support. And they can spend 15% of their tribal TANF grant that comes directly to them from the feds. That's over and above the $38 million that the state gets. But the part that we the state, support them with is limited, and I believe that's what Senator Wendy Boy was hoping to change.
Further questions from committee members?
I have a question for Senator Wendy Boy. So, Senator, you know, when we heard this bill, I do recall, I believe, a lady came and spoke. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name.
Elaine Topska, she's the director for Chippewa Cree Tribal TANF.
Right, and so she talked about the geographical problem, needing gas money to travel, or, you know, that the very thing you addressed. And then we also did hear, I believe, testimony about, you know, diapers and I don't know, I call them products, soft goods and products.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering what you're feeling. I mean, was the main intent of this bill to maintain that FTE, or was it for these soft products and goods?
Well, like I said before, that the initial intent was to utilize this 15% to help offset that FTE. And that was before knowing what's going on the federal level. Because, like I said, all of the tribes are funded by the discretionary under funding level under the Congress. So, with that reduction, there's going to be an automatic reduction with the tribal size. So it just kind of magnified the need more to try to make ends meet, because the tribes are trying to scramble and just to try not to lay as many people off, and this is kind of a high need, especially with you're looking at 60-70% unemployment.
Sue, do you have anything to add to this discussion?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, no, I think you covered it. The original intent of the bill was to use the 15% of state funds for administrative expenses, and the House Human Services Committee amended it to for the very reasons that Representative Bangerter and Representative Reed discussed.
But you, your opinion was that that the Senate language didn't violate any intent of the rest of the law as far as them using the 15%.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the bill changed the existing law. It doesn't violate anything, but it did change what the legislature years ago put into its statute in terms of the use of the state maintenance of effort funds.
Okay. Anything further from committee members?
Yes, and also, too, I was kind of follow up a little bit about what the question from Senator Bangerter was. You know, the 330,000 or whatever that amount that the tribe, that my tribe receives, the existing language, as Ms. Snediger had mentioned, is only for cash assistance. And what we wanted to do not only is to capitalize on that, but it would also free up the ability on a tribal level of to kind of allocate those soft goods, because right now the 330,000 is only for strictly for cash, and you know how it is when you give people cash, they may not really have the priority to buy those basic necessities, and that was kind of what we're thinking.
Representative Bangerter?
Mr. Chairman, I believe the tenor of the committee was such that someone correct me if I'm wrong, but it was such that we would rather put diapers on babies and feed children than pay for an FTE. Is kind of what I get was gathering, and it was starting to go south when Representative Pease Lopez jumped in and said, "This is for children. This is for that." And that's when I kind of jumped into the firing squad and said we would try to amend it to save it in that way. So I guess, I mean, I've never served on a conference committee, but I guess if that was the pure intent of your bill and that's the way you want it to go, I mean, I guess I would be open to amending it that way, but I don't know how the floor, I'm not sure of the fate of the bill if we do amend it that way, but I don't know how this works.
Sue, if a free conference committee report is rejected by either house, then what's the fate of the bill?
Mr. Chairman, the bill would die.
There's no more recourse after that. Okay. Senator Wendy Boyd?
Yeah,
unless
Chairman.
There was a motion to reconsider and appoint a new free conference committee.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take that chance and I'll make a motion if it's in order to remove the House amendments and proceed with the original intent of the bill.
You've heard the motion from Senator Wendy Boy. Is there discussion?
There's discussion.
Representative Reed.
With Senator Wendy Boy's motion, does that mean it would come back out on the House with the Senate amendment and we would vote on it on the floor with the Senate amendment? That's actually kind of more or less what I have written right here, that, and I wrote it down here, do we have to leave it up to the House then to accept that amendment? And we could agree with that, I think. Our worry is that we're thinking it's going to die on the House floor with that amendment. If we speak up verbally, if we choose to be quiet, maybe it will.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may, you know, as I mentioned when I made the motion, that I'm willing to take that chance if the fate of it, because it probably isn't going to, it wouldn't change anything of what they're doing now. I just wanted to try to make it amenable for the tribes to try to be more creative with what they have control of on their local level. And but if it does proceed as such, then at least I'm glad that I was able to be given the opportunity to explain more in detail of what the intent is, to give you guys the understanding of what we wanted to do with this. So, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion before us. Are we ready to vote? Questions called. Secretary, take the roll, please.
This is the motion for House Bill 156 to remove the amendments that the House put on the bill. Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Senator Windy Boy?
Yes.
Senator Priest is absent. Senator Bangeter?
Yes.
Senator Reed?
No.
Senator Pease Lopez?
Yes.
Motion passes 4-2.
Okay, thank you. And as Senator Windy Boy said, if it fails in either house, we've still got the present law, just as it's been for years. So we need some signatures, Pam, is that right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if we'll get it done tonight because I think I saw the amendment coordinator walking down the street there.
Okay.
And also, too, Mr. Chairman, if I may, since Representative Reed, since you voted no, if I'm understanding that would be up to your discretion to sign that report or not. That's just how things work, because I know that this is the first time that you served on one of these.
I'll sign it.
Okay, thank you very much, committee. We're adjourned. We're adjourned. Okay, thank you very much, committee.